United Airlines is going to have to pay the consequences for keeping passengers for hours aboard planes on tarmacs. The Transportation Department fined the airline $1.9 million for several incidents in recent years where the delays went past 3 hours. For more, we're joined by Here and Now transportation analyst Seth Kaplan. And Seth, this is the largest fine levied for this kind of incident, and the department cited 25 instances of long delays over the last 5 years. I mean, some of us have even experienced this ourselves. Can you give us some examples?
Well, the most famous example of all, Tanya, was the one that led to this rule, and this goes back to February 2007. I remember it well because I was stuck in it. It was JetBlue that time, which sort of failed to realize there was a big snowstorm was coming into New York and flew a bunch of flights in. The planes that were there couldn't get out and the gates were taken and you had people stuck on planes for many hours, in some cases without food, water, working toilets. And the allegation is that some of that here has happened, as you said, for flights over the past 5 years, more than 3 hours domestic flights, 4 hours for United.
I mean, how does this happen? I mean, it's a terrible situation. If an airplane lands, even if all the gates are tied up, can't airlines do something to get people off the plane?
Well, in isolation, yes. You know, if you had one plane, let's say, that you had the gate occupied, of course, you could pull up stairs. What happens, Tanya, is that typically when things go wrong, they go really wrong. And then because you have so many planes and so many gates in the same situation, that's where things get bad. I remember when I was stuck on one of those flights, there was a foot of snow on the ground and there was no way to get the stairs over to the plane and so forth. Eventually we got off. But that very often is what causes this. The best way to solve it is just to prevent the problem in the first place, to plan further ahead. If an airline knows that storm is coming, not fly planes into the area where things are bad. And overall, they've done a better job of that. You do have, believe it or not, fewer incidences of these than you used to have before the rule. But very clearly, as we see here, it still happens.
You mentioned your own personal experience with JetBlue. Did the government indicate that it might crack down on other airlines besides United? Haven't they also had these problems too?
Yeah, this is not to say that it's only United. This actually is a result of a settlement. Believe it or not, that number that you mentioned, Tanya, $1.9 million, is a lot less than the total that the government could have fined United in this case. They agreed on that amount. United disputed, said some of those flights it didn't agree with, but just wanted to settle this and get on with things. The fine, Tanya, is $27,500 per passenger who's stuck on one of those flights. If you do the math, a flight of 150 passengers, that'd be like $4 million a flight. And so, yeah, this is not to say that there's not more of this to come with other airlines. This is just the news about United right now.
Okay, so another story involving United I want to talk to you about is about their vaccination mandate for employees. The deadline was Monday. About 600 United employees did not meet that deadline, and the airline is now beginning the process of actually firing them. How might these firings impact the holiday travel season?
Well, first, let's see how many of those employees actually don't, let's say, blink, basically, right? United, you can see, is sort of publicly going through this process. And who's to say that some of them won't change their minds here at the last minute? But no, these airlines are running tight right now in terms of labor. We've seen that. We've seen other cancellations and delays because of that. And if all 600 of those employees, depending on their work functions, were suddenly gone, United would have to do something. It would have some time in terms of just pulling flights out of the schedule to get ahead of it. But that too would impact people if they're not able to fly when they wanted to.
Right, right. Okay, I want to talk to you about another issue that we've seen more and more during this pandemic. Delta is proposing a no-fly list be shared between the other airlines. We've seen the viral videos this summer of passengers being violent on flights. How could this help tamp down on those kinds of disturbances?
Well, it's simple math, Tanya. Right now, if you have a problem with Delta, Delta can say you're not flying Delta again, but you have a lot of other airlines to choose from, right? And so what they're proposing is that you can't do the same thing 5 or 10 times before you suddenly run out of airlines. There would be a shared, basically no-fly list, as you said, similar to the list that keeps people suspected of other crimes off flights, would apply also to people who we've seen in those videos.
Yeah. I have about 30 seconds with you. You know, we're also facing a government shutdown, which could happen as early as Friday with major impacts on federal workers and industries. If the shutdown happens, how could airlines be impacted?
The big groups of federal employees that serve airline passengers are air traffic controllers and TSA workers. Now, essential workers, and those are essential workers, are supposed to keep working. But I don't know about you, Tanya. I like my job, but wouldn't want to do it for free. Last time this happened, there were a lot of sick calls, and that could be the impact.
Here and now, transportation analyst Seth Kaplan, as always, thank you so much, Seth.
Thanks, Tanya.